It's the Internet Advisor, hour number two. And that is, as we tell you, your hour. What are we meaning by that? It means that that's the time for you to call in with your question, and we'll do our very best to answer, as we have been doing for the last 18 years. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, the co-host and producer of the program, and you can call us right now at 800-859-0957. Again, that's 800-859-0957. We're waiting to help you with your problem. Give us a call. Welcome aboard the Internet Advisor, hour number two. Hi, I'm Foster Brown. Ed Rudell and Shane Hamblin are in studio, and we're here to answer your questions at 800-859-0957. Ruth is online there. We'll get to you in just a moment, Ruth. Before we do that, however, Shane, I'm glad to have you in here to get another voice commenting on this. Ed, you have been taking it on the chin with some of our listeners who have been calling and kind of complaining about the fact that we have been encouraging people to just go ahead and upgrade to Windows 10.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
What's the big deal? And we've getting...
And I found out from Shane in between commercial breaks. So I've had pretty good luck upgrading. I've heard occasional problems with people, and it's usually related to video, or maybe they didn't do a check disk or a scan disk or check for disk errors before they installed, or maybe the antivirus programs are interfering. I've heard of those.
Mm-hmm.
But Shane, you wouldn't say... So let me ask you, so
yes.
Windows 10, so how have the upgrades been going with Windows 10?
Okay, at the very beginning when Windows 10 was released, I'd say it had probably 80 to 90% success rate.
Wow.
Really nice and easy and smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, within the last, say, month, 40%, 50%, I mean, really, I'm having a lot of problems upgrading people to Windows 10. And I don't know what's going on. I'm finding that there's now, before, I could just hit upgrade and it would work.
Right.
I'm finding now that there's a few things, like we talked about, a few things you have to do prior to the upgrade.
All right, so what are those things?
You're going to do it, you're going to always do a scan disk. You're going to check your disk for errors, you know. You want to make sure that you're free of errors on your hard drive.
Right, okay.
You're going to do a virus scan. You know, a malware bytes.
Very important, yeah.
You're going to do Bitdefender, one of those that we recommend, to make sure you're clear there. You're going to run every single Windows update there is until there's no more.
Okay. Those three things then, yeah. Folks, if you're taking these down, would be, and what I'll do is I'll try to put these on the website as well as prior to updating to Windows 10, regardless of the problems that are going on right now, make sure you do a scan disk, and you can do that through...
My computer, and then you right-mouse click on your C drive and select properties, unless you know another way.
Well, the best way to do it is start, you know, go to your search, type in command CMD,
yep.
Right-click on it as administrator. You want to run that command prompt as administrator,
mm-hmm.
and then all you're going to do is you're going to type in SFC space / scan now. And that will take care of it.
SFC /
scan now.
Scan now.
Well, that's system file check.
Well, you want to do the complete scan of the whole file system. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Not check disk. You're talking
correct.
About system file
My
check.
Fault. Yes. Yes.
Okay, system file check, which what that does is it's a Microsoft Windows utility that checks your entire computer to make sure that all the Windows files are legitimate Windows files.
Correct.
And if there's any missing ones or corrupted ones or possibly ones that have been replaced, Microsoft will, from all of the updates that it's installed on your computer, it will grab the correct missing files and put them on your computer.
And that'll be the last thing you do.
Okay.
So let's do this in order.
Yes, do them in order.
Okay. Run all your updates that Microsoft gives you.
Okay.
Check until this says there's no more. Check it a couple times. Restart your computer a few times because sometimes there are those ninja updates that we like to call. And once you
sneak up on
you.
Okay,
once you gotcha. Once you're clear of updates, besides the Windows 10 update, then what you're going to do is run a nice virus scan. Run a you know malware bytes.
Second one.
Or a Bitdefender, one of those that we recommend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then once that's done, then go ahead and do a file check.
Okay, so you don't think it's necessary to do a check your disk for errors?
No, it was a tongue tie. That's what I meant.
Okay.
And that would be the SFC / scan now.
Correct. If you actually go to Bing,
yeah.
and type in / SFC, the first thing that comes up is the actual command, how to do it, right in Google Help and Microsoft Help.
But those three things, and as I said, I'll put the folks, you don't have to worry about trying to write that down off your driving.
So
I'll
the other thing we ran across, a lot of people saying, why is everyone trying to force me to upgrade to Windows 10? I don't want to go to Windows 10. Have you been running into customers that are just...
Well, what has happened is nobody's forced them to do anything. They agreed to it. They just forgot. What happens when Microsoft was first announcing Windows 10, it said, hey,
Would you like to reserve
your copy now? And they hit yes just to get rid of that window. And sure as heck, that's where they're getting them.
Okay, so we had a couple of listeners, more than a few, sent emails and said, I went on vacation, I came back, left my computer on, and lo and behold, Windows 10 was there.
And I'll tell you what, if it was a successful install, good for them.
Yeah, if it was successful, you're right.
Boy, they got lucky then. Okay. Know? So
at some point in the past, they would, and that's what I suspected.
Microsoft isn't going to do nothing unless... they're not going to take away your OS and your Windows 7 that you paid for and say, oh, no, you can't use it anymore. You have to do it. They're not going to do that.
Right.
There was somewhere down the road where they said, hey, you know, do you want that copy? Make sure we remind you. And I think what's happening is all those reminders are coming due now.
Yeah.
And they're just blowing up the server. I think that's kind of what's going on.
That's why it's failing so much. Oh. I got a Windows 10 install going right now while I'm doing the radio show for my son. You know, he's finally in between semesters.
Yeah.
He's doing summer school. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. I got 3 days. I'm going to upgrade him to Windows 10 and then recopy all his data.
You know what, folks? Windows 10 is a great operating system. It is. Once you get it running.
Don't say that. I've had a number of listeners saying, don't tell me it's a great operating system. I have people that say, there's a conspiracy going on because Google Chrome will not run underneath Windows 10. And I'm like, well, then there's something wrong with your Windows operating system or you have bad extensions.
I tell people all the time, if you don't like Windows, get a Chromebook or load Linux.
Yeah.
I mean,
or buy a Mac.
I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. I mean, don't use Windows. Don't complain about it. Don't use it.
And they want to stay where they're at.
That's fine. Yeah.
All right, Ruth, sorry we made you wait there, but we wanted to get this point out because we have had quite a bit of mail on this. All right, folks, here's the number again, 800-859-0957. That's where you get the call and ask your question or raise your particular kind of concern. Thank you for calling in here and be with us on this evening in Detroit. My name is Foster Brown. With me also, Ed Rudell and Shane Hamlin, and we're here to answer your questions. Please don't wait to the end of the program. We'll get this rush at the end of the program. We can't get your calls. Ruth from Westland, thank you so much. And sorry to have you wait there, but we really wanted to talk about that Windows 10 issue. So how can we help you?
Well, don't be sorry about that. There's something really important that maybe we ought to get. Here was my question. It's a general question.
Yep.
I keep losing my audio sound, and it extends across the board, and it seems to be happening more frequently than I'd like, and it takes a restart of the computer to bring the sound back.
Hmm.
And because I haven't been paying a lot of attention, you know, sometimes you just get irritated that you move on, and you don't log in what's happening so that you've got some information when you ask the question.
But I thought maybe
there might be a common reason, you know, a couple of common reasons for this sort of thing to happen. But quickly, Windows 10, let's say you want to revert from 10 back. Okay, you've got 8.1. You want to revert back to 8.1. You go to do it, and it says revert back to 7.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, wait a minute, I don't have 7 on my computer. I've got 8.1. What do you do?
Okay, let's see if we can separate. The first issue you brought up was about audio, okay? That was a separate issue, right?
Yeah, that's a major one. That's the one I wanted.
Let's talk about that one first as we keep these things separate. What operating system are you running right now?
Windows 10.
Okay, you're running Windows 10 right now, and the problem is that suddenly the audio cuts out.
Exactly.
And then you said it's across the board, meaning any application that has audio on it stops working.
Exactly. Like, it can be video, but it can also be, I have a alarm timer that I put a music file in.
Ah, okay.
And even that doesn't work.
Okay, that's not working all right. But guys?
Let me ask you this. Did these things start happening after 10, or has it always happened?
Well, wait a minute. Repeat the question.
The audio problem that you're having, did it start having this issue once you upgraded to 10, or was it prior to 10 as well?
Oh, no. It's once I upgraded to 10, but I've had 10 for a while with no problem.
Yeah.
This just started, like, I don't know, the last couple of weeks, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Boy, it could, you know, whenever you think sound or networking, you always think driver.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the first thing that comes to your mind is a driver issue.
Mm-hmm.
Even sometimes I find BIOS updates kind of will take care of that. Sometimes the onboard mother, you know, the onboard sound card. Is it a laptop or a desktop?
It's a laptop.
It's a laptop. Mm-hmm. So you've got a little sound card on that motherboard. It's, you know, there's a couple things it could be. And this is the thing about computing. You know, it's troubleshooting. You know, it's either a driver. Have you tried updating to the latest driver?
No, I haven't. That's one thing I haven't done.
What I would recommend you, the first thing doesn't cost you anything. You go to, you know, HP or whatever website your computer's from, and you go to the support area, and you'll find an area there for drivers, and you'll put your model number in, usually sometimes maybe serial number, and it'll find your sound drivers, your audio drivers.
Right.
Go ahead and grab that latest audio driver and download it to your desktop and install it. And see if that helps take care of some of your problems. Because you may have a corrupt driver. And what's happening is it corrupts. You restart your computer. Windows reloads the generic Windows version of it. Then it dictates. It finds the distance in the standard driver.
Mm-hmm.
And it tries loading that corrupt over and over. And that's why you're having that problem.
Right.
Okay. Let's take the second question then, Ruth, because we've got some other folks calling in.
So when you upgrade to Windows 10, you only have 30 days to uninstall Windows 10 and revert back to your previous operating system.
So correct.
Right. And then you get to that by going into settings, updates, and security. Then you go into recovery. And then you should have the ability to select either go back to Windows 7 or go back to Windows 8.1. And but you're saying... But that depends on what operating system you upgraded from. You're saying that you upgraded from Windows 8.1 to Windows 10, and you're expecting that to say go back to Windows 8.1.
Yeah.
And what you're saying, Ruth, is that it says go back to Windows 7?
Right.
That I can't explain.
Well, let me ask you this. What is your certificate for your operating system for this machine say? Is it a Windows 7 machine or a Windows 8 machine?
Well, I upgraded my machine, so it's not a Windows... Well, wait a minute. Hang on. It's a Windows 8 machine.
It was a Windows 8 machine from the beginning.
Wait a minute. Hang on. I've got to think.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. No, you know what? I think I upgraded from 8 to 8.1, and then I upgraded further to the 8.1 update. So I think it was originally 8, then I upgraded to 8.1, and then the 8.1 update.
Let me ask you this. On your laptop, is there a Windows 7 sticker somewhere?
No.
Okay. Then why it wants to go back to 8 or 7? You've got me. Because normally what will happen is your machine will say you'll have a Windows 7 sticker.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a Windows 7 key at the bottom. And it'll be loaded with 8 from the manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
Because they upgraded, you know. Right. That was in that time period when 8 was coming out.
So 7 was still the base.
That's the one it's going to revert back to. And then you'll have to run your upgrades from the beginning. But you want to go back? You want to take it from 10 back to 8?
Oh, no, okay. I don't. It's just for anybody else listening that wants to do that.
Oh, I got you.
I don't.
Because I did want to do that, but I got stymied when I thought it went back to 7. And anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up for the listeners if anybody wants to do that.
Yeah. All right, well, Ruth,
let's... And then they wonder why they're getting Windows 7 reversion instead of the 8.1.
I got you. All right, Ruth, well, let's find out what happens with your audio issues. Give us an email or give us a call next week and let us know how that works and getting your audio issues fixed with a driver update. Thanks so much for giving us a call. Again, the number 800-859-0957. Mike from Royal Oak, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you? Hello, Mike.
Hello?
Yes, hi, Mike. How can we help you?
Okay.
Mike, are you still there?
I heard the click.
I heard the click, and I heard the radio in the background.
That's a deadly sound. All right. Logan, we're going to put him on hold and see if he comes back again. By the way, and this is kind of like basics for those of you who are listening to a talk show on the radio, turn your radio down because there is a delay, and if you're kind of... You remember the old RCA, the dog that was listening to his master's voice? Well, if you're waiting to hear your voice on the radio, you're really going to get confused because of the delay that's put in there. So again, our number is 800-859-0957, and we've got some calls coming in. Logan is going to line those up. And while she's lining those up, just a quickly, one of the things I saw, by the way, in the news this week is that Dropbox has an interesting... Do you use Dropbox at all?
I do not. The one thing I do not use.
It's a program that I've used, and I use it to store some things in the cloud.
Yeah.
And what I didn't realize was, you know, it's got a folder on my computer that has all the files that are also on my... in the cloud.
Sync drive.
I thought that sync drive was just like shortcuts.
Oh.
No. So if I've got 8 gigabytes in the cloud, I'm also taking up 8 gigabytes on my computer.
Correct.
And that was not what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So have we got Mike back? Oh, we do. Okay. They have come up with a program now with a project called Project Infinite.
Mm-hmm.
They announced it this week in London where they're going to change that.
Okay,
so it's just the shortcuts, but that's coming up with Dropbox if you happen to be a Dropbox user.
It's actually the same way with OneDrive, too.
Is it with OneDrive as well?
Yeah, same thing.
Oh, no, I got OneDrive on my computer as well.
Yeah, duplicates the same thing.
That's a terrible thing about it. I don't want to take up...
Right. You know what's worse is when the OneDrive says you're full, so you move it back to your drive on your local machine, and it goes right back.
like gum, can't get it off your shoe. All right. Hey, Mike, are you there, Mike?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. We want to keep you here. What's your concern, Mike? How can we help you with the Internet Advisor?
Okay, all right. Well, I added a Windows 7 Professional PC to my small little network here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I've networked a lot of XP boxes and below XP, so I know a little bit what I'm doing here.
Okay.
But, when I went to set up, I wanted to be able to do a network login to the Windows 7 machine from an XP machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in and I set up special administrative users on the 7 machine.
Mm-hmm.
I put in the workgroup name. I shared the drives. I've got a C and a D drive on the 7 machine. And I'm pretty sure I did everything else that I knew to do.
And the result was?
Okay. Well, initially what happened was I couldn't log in to the 7 machine at all.
Okay.
And then I noticed that when I logged in on the 7 machine as an administrator, then I could log in and see the drives on the 7 machine from my XP machine.
Okay, Mike. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a pause for just a minute. We're going to see if we can sort some of this stuff out and come back with you after the break, and we'll talk some more about it then, okay? Our number again, 800-859-0957. Sandra from Livonia will be with you, and Chris from Port Huron will be talking with you as well after we come back at the break and we talk with Mike. Our hats off, and thank you to Eric Dorsch, our engineer, and to Logan Stanifer, who is our producer. Thank you very much for your help behind the glass. And to Ed Riddell and to Shane Hamlin in studio here. My name is Foster Brown. Now, let's get back out to Mike. We've been kind of talking things over here in studio, and generally speaking, the combined opinions is that networking is a hairy deal, especially when you've got different operating systems that you're trying to marry together on a network.
Yeah.
Basically, Mike, you're saying that you've got a PC with Windows 7 on it. You're trying to network it into a system that's also got some XP machines on it, right?
Correct.
And,
okay.
And that you were saying that when you attempt to access the from the XP system to the Windows 7 system, and the Windows 7 system is just powered up and not logged in, that you're unable to access it. But then you said, but when you logged in on the Windows 7 system and then attempted to access it from the Windows XP system, magically it started working.
Is that correct?
It wasn't working. It would let me... I could see the drives on the Windows 7 machine, but I couldn't do anything. From the XP machine. And right now, for example, I'm logged into the 7 box from an XP, and I went to just make a new folder.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, unable to create the folder, new folder, access is denied.
You know...
When you say, what are you, remoting? Are you?
Yeah, he's probably doing a start run --// the Windows 7 system and the $C or something like that.
I'm not doing remote. I'm just networked over.
So you're browsed over to the Windows 7 machine.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, you're using your browse to it. Have you gone into the control panel on the Windows 7 and gone into the networking sharing center and then set up a home and network sharing options in there?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what you did.
And there's an area there where sharing that says users. Have you shared with everyone? That's one of the things that I find that you want to do is if you go into there, it'll be a box there that says shared, you know, users.
Yeah, right.
And you'll have to add, you just type in everyone mm-hmm. and add that and then check, you know, full control. And all of a sudden now you're able to access those those folders.
Yeah.
And that's in the 7 control panel?
It's in the 7, for instance, you have a drive on your 7 machine that you want to access through the XP machine, correct?
So you're browsing the network. So one of the things you want to do is you want to go into you want to share a folder from your Windows 7 system, and you can right mouse click on that folder. So create a new folder. You probably know how to do this. You right mouse click on it. You select properties. There'll be a sharing tab. And this is where Shane was talking about when you go to the sharing tab, you can add who you wish to share it to. Now you can add it to the individual users, but then you can also type in everyone.
Correct.
And then once you do that, when you browse from the XP system, that will be one of the folders that we will see on the network because you've granted that shared folder to everyone.
Mike, I'm going to suggest something here, and we don't normally do this, but you're asking a rather complicated question that I think might be best solved by email, because we can take some time, you can take some time.
Or YouTube videos.
Or YouTube videos as well. But send us an email on this, and we can parse some of this a little bit better, taking some time to look at it, rather than trying to do it on the air, because that can become really
right.
hairy.
Because he sounds like he's always gone browse through the network. I've never done that because I always have difficulty because it's such a hit or miss with Microsoft on a homework group trying to browse the network to see if you can access the drives. I always go start run and I type in // and the computer name. Mm-hmm. And then I see when I hit enter or okay, I see everything that computer's sharing out.
Got it.
Okay. That's what I do.
So Mike, we're going to do that, right? We're going to ask you to get back in touch with us through our homepage, and you go to the contact button there, or you can go to the comment section at the bottom of the notes on the program and send us an email that way, all right?
Okay.
Okay, Mike, thanks. And we can take some time then to see if we can dig into this a little better, but you've got the start of it at least with the comments that both Shane and Ed have made. You guys are saying that, Shane, you were saying
I was about to, you know, usually when we have XP, I was going to ask him if he was an OCG, we call him, old CAD guy. Because they like to keep Windows XP around for their CAD programs.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Sandra from Livonia. Sandra, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi there. Well, that last comment gave me a heads up. My husband has a older laptop with XP on it, mm-hmm. and he's never wanted to upgrade because he has a Tascam program on there that he used to record music. And it was difficult to install, and he's not that techie, and neither am I, so he was always afraid to tamper with the program. But I'm wondering if can you upgrade from XP all the way to Windows 10 and not create an issue with a secondary program like Tascam?
Unfortunately, no. I'd love to say yes, but you've there's a barrier there about 2 or 3 operating systems that won't allow you to do that.
So just leave it as is.
Now, sometimes I have luck. If it's an older program, sometimes I have luck where I just copy the whole directory from an older program, especially just try to paste it into a newer machine, like a Windows 7 machine.
So basically have her get a new computer. Because you're not going to be able to upgrade this to Windows 10.
Borrow one.
And then copy the folder that has all the program files for this application. Copy it to the new computer, right?
Because you'll find older programs didn't take their guts and spew it all over the operating system like newer ones do. They were contained right in the folder. So they needed everything they needed to run right there in that folder. So theoretically, you could just copy the folder over onto a thumb drive.
Oh, really?
Paste it into... I've had a lot of these old programs do that.
Old programs, not Microsoft programs. Goodness,
just old third-party, old CAD programs.
Well, like this Tascam. Right. This Tascam program. That's a good idea.
QuickBooks used to be that way, too. Yeah.
That's right, yes.
So borrow somebody's Windows 7 machine, throw that folder onto a thumb drive, just paste it right into, you know, your desktop or something, open the folder up and see if there's a little setup button to reinstall it or an install button and see if it works.
Oh, okay, because I personally have Windows 10 on my desktop, and I also have a Mac laptop, which I just had as a secondary, so I could almost test it on that, right?
I'd stay away from the Mac. Try the, the Windows 7, you'd see what I was hoping is if you were to install it on a Windows 7 machine, get it installed and established first, then you could upgrade to 10 and see if it kind of came along for the ride.
Yeah. I see what
but,
you're saying.
But what kind of program is it?
Tascam is it?
It is, the equipment is called Tascam, and it allows him to go into karaoke websites and then do his own recording using the background, musical background.
Gotcha.
And so he's actually only uses the computer for that, and because he has so much, so much material recorded, he didn't want to run the risk. Yeah.
Back it up. Back everything up. Back up that entire computer.
It does have a backup. Yeah.
So old. No, image the entire hard drive. So if anything happens to it, he can go and buy a used one off eBay or Craigslist and throw the image of that hard drive on his existing computer and throw it on another computer that's identical. You know, otherwise he's going to break his heart.
These folks have got their own drive. They got their own computer shop. You know, they got XP machine, they got Windows 10, you know, and a Mac.
If you don't want to do the imaging, or it might be too complicated for yourself, find a local computer store. Tell them, can you please take an image of this computer and throw it on an external drive for me somewhere, or a thumb drive?
Oh,
yeah, an image.
And they could actually do that on a thumb drive then.
Well, yeah, they can do that, but then you'd have to take the image and extract it onto a new... If you just do what we call a clone, get an old hard drive, someone just got a hard drive, clone it to that hard drive, and just store it away. You can do that as well.
Yeah, they can clone it from an... But it has to be... Yeah, they can clone it.
So, so take it into any computer shop?
Well, you call them first.
Call them.
Call them and say, I want to clone my old XP because I can't move this program, and I want to be able to... If the hard drive fails or the computer fails, I want to be able to take the information, throw it in another old computer just like this so I can recover everything.
Sandra, at the bottom of our webpage, we have a space there where you can click on, and it shows you some of the local computer shops. You're on the Livonia area. PC Gladiator is out in that area. Check with them at PC Gladiator. Go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net. At the bottom, you'll see a link to the local computer shops, and check out with them. See if they can help you.
Very good. All right. So cloning is the operative word here then.
Absolutely. That'll keep it safe for you. Again, by the way, if you go to internetadvisor.net and you go to the bottom of our page, you will find that we've got that resource, which is great. You'll find Comptech Services. And, matter of fact, somebody from Port Huron just recently came on there. So our objective is to give you those local resources as well. Let's go to Chris from Port Huron. Chris, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi. How are you doing today, guys?
Good, Chris. What's up?
Well, 3 months ago, I had somebody in my computer. I was trying to get download some antivirus, and I was under the impression it was free, and then they said it was $150, so I said I don't want it, but I was having trouble getting them out of my screen and out of my computer. So I shut it down, and I rebooted, and when I did that, I had to get another driver, not a driver. I had to get, I have Vista, Windows Vista. So it took me a while to get back up to speed, and I lost my Gmail account. It's been like 3 months, and I've only had two passwords, and I used them both. I still can't get back into it.
Oh, boy.
So I followed their procedures on what I have to do. It takes 3 days, and I filled in their little box at the bottom where it says, you know, and I put in my new phone number, and then it goes to a questionnaire like, when did you open this up? Oh, my God, I can't remember. You know, it could have been 3 years ago. So it goes round and round, and every 3 days I try to get back into it, and I end up in the same place.
Oh, boy, that's agony.
So, and this is a good time that people should go to Google and their Gmail accounts and go back into the security sections and start filling out the information in there, because if you've had your account for a few years, they now provide options where they can send you a text message to your cell phone. Yeah. So if you update your Gmail accounts and other online accounts with your cell phone information, then you can prevent this from happening.
They're sending a text to the wrong phone.
Oh, dear.
It's not even my phone.
Chris, hang on a second. We're going to see if we can help you on the other side of our break here in just a moment. And for the rest of the folks out there, still have some time for you to call 800-859-0957. Let us help you. Thank you so much for being with us here on the Internet Advisor. putting together nefarious little plans. It'd be kind of neat, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, people don't know what we're talking about because there's a show and a show after the show between breaks, but. Yeah.
We were talking about calling one of these bogus helplines and seeing if they string them along on the air.
And we were worried about, legally, what can we do that? I'm just like, sure, what are they going to do? Give you their name and address? You know, I'm calling the police on you. You know,
What are they going to do?
Yeah, we can do whatever we want. The criminal.
Oh, dear. By the way, folks, on Sunday nights, we post the podcast from this program. I mean, you can listen to all 2 hours of it. The first hour, we talked about a fascinating subject of farming and the internet and how it's become an incredible tool for farmers nowadays. And then we'll also tell you into the second hour of the program. We've been tackling some problems that people have, like, for instance, Chris from Port Huron. Chris, your problem was that... your Gmail account, as I understand, got fouled up. Am I right?
I can't get back into it. How can I close it?
Yep.
You know?
That's the key. And your problem is that when everything you try to get back in is not letting you get there.
Now, isn't there an option, and I'm not sure if this is the case, for an alternate email address? So sometimes they provide the ability to send an email to an alternate email account. So you've already tried the phone, but like you said, you don't have that old other phone number. So was there an option to do a recovery by sending it to an alternate email account?
You're right on. And it would open up to my optional email, and I would click on it, and it would say, time elapsed, it's not any good. So I would try it again in an hour, and same thing.
So what's the time period between when you send the email or click the button for Google Gmail to send you an email message? What was the time lapse between when you pressed that button to when you actually received
the
email?
About 2 seconds.
Yeah. You know what I think it is? That the time lapse is from whenever it shut down the ID to now. Not the last 2 seconds when you did it. I think it's whenever this happened, Chris, it shut down after attempts apparently to open it didn't work. And initially, it's for your safety that they do that kind of thing. But in your case, unfortunately, it shut you out completely.
Yeah, if somebody's hacked your Gmail account and changed your backup email.
Password.
I believe you can still physically talk to somebody at Gmail.
But I don't know the number.
Yeah, I don't know. My laptop just died. The battery died.
Oh no!
So it just went out on me. But I believe there is a phone number you can call, and they will. And I believe it's done through the mail. They'll send you something with a code.
Oh, through the physical mail.
Through the physical mail.
Mail.
I think you have to actually take a picture of your driver's license. I think there's a way to do this. Get your identity back through
I'll have to go that route because,
through Gmail.
Even when I keep two windows open on my, in other words, I'll keep my email open plus my alternate email open immediately so that I can go to it as soon as they send it. And it's still, it runs out of time.
Do a quick search and look for a physical phone number for Gmail or Google. Give them a call and see if they can put you through the process of getting that identity back. And now you said
by the way, excuse me, I'm looking here online, and I just googled for call Gmail support, and apps.google.com/support sends you to a page that's got some 800 numbers you can call. Okay
apps dot what
it's well I apps apps dot google dot com then /support. That should get you in there, okay? Just Googled call Google support, and it got me to that page. So there is a place where you can give them a call.
Yeah, it's going to have to be through the snail mail to get this right.
Yeah, and please...
Well, you'll find out. You'll find out.
And please do me a favor. If you call the Google number and they ask you for another $150, don't give it to them.
Yeah. Oh,
right.
Lord.
Well, you know, it says...
It wasn't Google, guys. It was some other outfit. In fact, when I told him I rebooted, it came back on, and he said, "What'd you do that for?" He was very unhappy.
Yeah, they get
mad. You know, because I got rid of them.
Yeah, that's exactly it. All right, Chris, thanks so much for giving us a call, and I'm sorry for all the problems you're having. I hope, by the way, if anybody else needs that, it's Again, apps.google.com/support, and you'll find an 800 number there, for the U.S. at least. Worldwide, there's another number that you can call. 24/7, it says, they're available. All right, let's go to Bob from Garden City. Bob, let's see if we can wrap things up with your call today. How can we help you?
Okay, guys, I'd like to remove a hard drive from an older XP machine. Mm-hmm. I'd like to put the hard drive in a case and be able to connect that to my Windows 7 machine. Mm-hmm. What do I need to go through for that?
Simple stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to go find yourself an external hard drive case, one that fits your hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it a SATA drive? Is it an IDE drive? It's probably going to be IDE.
If it uses the ribbon cable, it's an IDE.
So a lot of the cases now have multiple. You can use them either SATA or IDE. Mm-hmm. They have both adapters inside. You're going to remove carefully.
Now, those cost around $20.
$20-$30, yeah.
$20-$30.
Some of the better ones cost a little more.
Although, yeah. I was on Amazon just the other day, and I saw for like $7, you can get the one with the IDE head on it.
Correct.
And then a USB tail.
Correct.
So you just plug it in, and boom, you're in business.
Yep, they have docks and things and so forth that you can do that with. But, you know, the little better ones are tend to be, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you want an aluminum case or plastic case, then you got to pay for that, too.
Right.
So, yeah, $20-$30.
Simple stuff. Make sure when you're taking your hard drive out, you're properly grounded and you're not going to shock anything.
Right.
Once that drive is out, just put it in the case, and that's it. I mean, it's simple as that. A couple screws, and you're done.
Okay, and then I'll just plug it in, and it'll recognize the other drive, right?
Correct. You're going to plug it in, and it's going to act just like a little thumb drive. It's going to go ding-ding, and it's going to detect it. And you should have no problem. If the hard drive is stable and intact, and there's nothing wrong with the hard drive, it should work easy peasy, no problem.
So you're going from XP. This is a hard drive that's in an XP machine?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in a desktop, and I need to plug it into my laptop, Windows 7. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And these tend to be a little bit more expensive, because remember, on the older hard drives, the 5.5, they have a 5/12-volt power. So they're going to have to provide you a power supply with that. The newer computers, the SATA hard drives, are just a little cable, and the power is provided right next to the table. You know, it's a real tiny little cable. Mm-hmm. Those older ones, they used a ribbon cable, and they used a power connection. And so the tray that you need is going to have that power supply as well.
You might want to take it out there in Garden City. Might want to go to a local computer shop where they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Show them the hard drive that you want to put, and they will then know whether you need that extra power cable on it or not.
Okay,
so you get the proper connector. All right?
Okay, thank you very much.
Very good, no Bob. Problem. Hey, thanks for giving us a call, and that about wraps it up for us, folks.
Nice easy one at the end.
That's nice.
Yeah,
an easy one to wrap up with. For the rest of you, by the way, during the week, if you run into a problem, we have people standing by. Ed's standing out there, and also Cal, myself, and Shane. And if you've got a problem during the week, feel free to visit internetadvisor.net. And then you can go to the top of the page to the contact button that's up there. Send us an email that way, or simply go to the bottom of the show notes, and you'll find there's a little comments section in there. You can type in your information and put your email address in and send it to us, and we'll do our very, very best to get the answer out to you during the week as quick as we can. Again, Ed, thank you so much. And Shane, best to you.
Thank you.
Your program?
Pwned Radio, pwnedradio.com.
And that's coming up on?
Sundays from 7 to 9 on podcastdetroit.com.
Look for it there, or pwned?
Pwnedradio.com.
Or pwnedradio.com.
You pwned radio us anywhere. You'll find us on Twitter, everywhere. We're everywhere. We're a nation. Everywhere.
Thanks for coming by tonight.
Yes, thank you. Welcome.
Folks, we got a great program coming up. Matter of fact, we're getting close to the 50th anniversary of Merit, which is one of the companies that was there at the beginning of the internet. And Gary Baker will be back with us this coming week. Yes, he's not simply a figment of our imagination. He's coming back from cheering for his son at the lacrosse tournaments and will be with us during the merry month of May. Thank you so much. On behalf of all of our staff here, my name is Foster Brown, and don't forget that on Sunday nights, we will post the entire podcast for you at our homepage, internetadvisor.net. Have a great week.